Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily. I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles. Are you Team Moderna or Team Pfizer? If you're on Moderna, you might be the winner. New info coming out about how the Moderna vaccine might just give you stronger protection, even though those two vaccines are very similar. We'll talk with an 11-year-old here in Southern California who's waiting to get vaccinated before she heads back to the classroom, and a zoo on the East Coast now vaccinating the animals. But we start with Moderna versus Pfizer. Dr. Sabra Klein, professor of immunology and microbiology at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. Chris Seedens and I asked how the Moderna shot seems to be outperforming Pfizer's.
So we think it must be something in the lipid nanoparticle that the mRNA is enclosed in that may be playing a role. And these are where the patents come in. This is patented technology. But, you know, even when the Pfizer vaccine was tested at the same dose as the Moderna vaccine, it still didn't perform as well as the Moderna vaccine. And again, as you noted correctly, these are very minor differences, but there does appear to be some greater durability of the immunity following receipt of the Moderna vaccine. It could also be that the Moderna vaccine is spaced an extra week in between the two doses. And that may be just enough time to really give our immune system some added time to really mount that primary response before coming in and giving us the second dose to further boost our immunity. So I think the duration of time between the first and second doses, the dose of the actual vaccine, as well as the patented technology of their lipid nanoparticle, are all things for us to consider.
So let's lay out for people exactly where we're at right now, just so there's no confusion.
Yeah.
Is the difference in the, you know, what we've come to know as getting a breakthrough case, and maybe that's mild and Pfizer is not as good, or is it in the hospitalization scenario when you have to go there? Is Pfizer not as good as Moderna there as well? And then once we have those answered, we'll take the next questions.
Absolutely. I think we would all agree that both Pfizer and Moderna are excellent at preventing hospitalization. So I think both do equally well when it comes to keeping us out of the hospital. I think it is merely that when they've measured the immunity in people who've received these vaccines, it seems to be a little bit greater and last a little bit longer when people receive the Moderna vaccine.
Dr. Klein, is there continuing development all the time? Are they working on making all of these vaccines, Moderna, Pfizer, J&J, AstraZeneca, for that matter, as well, which is used in Canada and many other countries?
Yes.
Are they working to make them even more effective against the different, more contagious variants like Delta?
Absolutely. I think, yes. But what you need to remember is that any modification that they make has to be approved by the FDA. So we are in the midst of the pandemic still. And if it makes more sense to make the recommendation for booster doses, especially for those in our communities who are at greatest risk, so those people who might be immunocompromised or people who are 65 years and older, are what they've limited this to for the Pfizer vaccine specifically, then I think in order to get these boosters to people the fastest that we can, we have to stick with the original vaccines that were against that what we're calling that ancestral strain that came out of Wuhan. It does work rather well against Delta. So, you know, I think we should rest assured that that I think it is still proving to provide ample protection.
I want to go back to this idea from before about small differences, because there's people yes. driving around right now who read the CDC yeah. study from last week, and they said, okay, it's 6 months afterwards. Moderna's still coming in at 90-something, and if I'm a Pfizer guy, I say it's 77 now, and that yeah. doesn't seem like a small difference to me. So take us through that. And who actually post-vaccine is ending up in the hospital? Are these perfectly healthy people, or do they have comorbidities to begin with?
That's such a good question. So that person driving in the car listening to us right now, I think if that is somebody who is otherwise healthy, okay, they're not immunocompromised, they have not received a solid organ transplant, they do not have cancer, they are not for other reasons, like because of autoimmune diseases, they're not taking immunosuppressive medicines, then they should rest assured that these differences really are subtle for them. I think where we have our biggest concern are in those at-risk populations that I just mentioned and older adults. When you look at who is ending up vaccinated, but in the hospital with COVID, it's typically people 65 years and older and people who have an altered immune system.
Dr. Sabra Klein, immunologist, microbiologist, Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. An 11-year-old girl who lives in Huntington Beach here in Southern California, not able to get vaccinated yet because it's for 12-year-olds, 12 plus so far, made the choice to stay home and continue remote learning rather than go back to school. She wants to wait till she makes it to 12 a couple months from now. Chris and I chatted with her, Callie Knotson, and her mom, Karen. Started off by asking how she came to this decision.
Well, I really just didn't want to get sick or get anyone else sick. So it was basically just like a decision between what is, you know, safe or what I would like to do. And I picked what is safe.
Did it take you time to come to that conclusion, or was this just a pretty easy, you know what, I don't have the vaccine yet, I'm not old enough, and I'm just going to stay here?
I would say it was probably like in between. It took some time to like really think about it, but it also was like quick enough to where it was like, just, you know, what's safe and what's a possible life or death situation.
Kelly, let's bring your mother, Karen, into the conversation. Mom, when Kelly came to you with this, your thoughts, obviously you're very proud of the decision she's made as a young girl.
Of course. I mean, it really was a family decision. She was in virtual last year. We initially had her signed up to go back to in-person. But, you know, we've all, as a family, have discussed and kept up with the news and the reports and what's going on with Delta variant. You know, it just seemed like a much higher risk and than it was even last year. And some of the protocols are in place. I get that the schools are doing the best that they can, but it seems like they're almost less restrictive this year than they were last year. So it was really just a no-brainer kind of decision for us. But we're very proud of her that she's ready to go back anytime, but she wants to do it safely. So she asked if she could get vaccinated on her 12th birthday. So that is the plan for now.
And Kelly, you go back right after you get your vaccine, or after the couple weeks have passed, whenever you're considered fully vaccinated, is that the plan?
Pretty much, but it just depends on, like, if the school has room for me and if they'll allow me to go back in.
Tell me, are you the only one out of your friends who've chose to stick with remote learning to start the school year?
Yes, I'm sure I am. I mean, I'm sure all my friends went back, and I'm the only one that stayed behind.
Is it still kind of tough to do? I mean, how did the virtual go last year, and how does this compare? It can't be easy, but if you feel safer, that's something. But still, I mean, you're sitting at, what, the laptop, and it must be kind of a drag.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at some points, it gets, like, really monotonous, but, like, it's just, last year was just pretty much the same as this year, but middle school.
Karen, Mom, conversations you have with the school and maybe with some other parents on issues like this, have there been many conversations about an issue like this where you're close to 12 years old, your child is close to 12 years old, not quite ready to be or not quite able to be vaccinated yet? You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, but, you know, I haven't had too many conversations with friends. I mean, ultimately, this is a family decision, and everybody needs to do what's right for their own families. I will say that we're for sure in the minority, just looking at social media, and, you know, and that's okay. You know, I think that we're in the minority with our decision and the area that we live in. I think that maybe there's a larger population of folks who are maybe vaccine resistant, more so than we are. So, you know, that was also a factor in sending her back, you know, the possibility that she could be back in school with kids who are able to be vaccinated, but their parents are choosing not to vaccinate them. So that also played a role in our decision, not judging everybody. Everybody has to do what's comfortable for their own families.
Even in areas that aren't, you know, pockets of resistance, like you mentioned, do you think it was still talked about in a certain way that maybe everyone just assumed that all the kids were going back because it was so exciting, right, for a lot of people? Hey, they can go back to school. And then there was always like a subline, unless somebody chooses not to. And how do you feel being part of that group, or your daughter coming to you and saying, hey, you know what, I'm not comfortable with this?
I mean, we're fine with it. We're confident people. She's a confident child. So, you know, our decisions are our own. I'm not worried about, you know, judgment on that. You know, as far as, you know, everyone else sending their kids back last year, you know, it looked like everybody sent, you know, the folks that did send their kids, that they did very well. And the transmission was low. And that's great, because that's what everybody would want. You know, and this year we waited until the last minute. We registered her in person and made the decision that day while we were at registration, you know, that we're going to go ahead and need to do this. Also, that we did speak with the district, and last year, if we signed them up for virtual, we did not get a choice. We were locked in for the entire year. This year, they told us that there was going to be a lot more flexibility with that. So that was, you know, a large factor in our decision too. Callie's an only child, so the socialization is so important. And in person, you know, it's not the same as doing it virtually, but she does get the option of going back. And we felt that, you know, this is a decision we can't afford to get wrong.
Kelly, as we mentioned, this is a very mature decision on your part, consulting with your parents. But tell me deep down, you're going to be turning 12 in November. You're going to get the shot. How eager are you to getting back to in-person, in-class learning around friends?
Very excited to get back, because middle school is a big change, and it's a lot more grown up, and it seems more fun than, you know, grade school. But the thing is that as long as I'm safe doing something that I would most likely like, that's what's the most important, is being safe.
Kelly Knotson, 11 years old.
Well said. Yeah. Well said.
Going on 12, going into middle school. Good luck with middle school.
Best to be safe.
And Mom Karen Knotson out there in Huntington Beach. Thanks to you both. 11 years old, more mature than I am. After the break, short break, even the lemurs are now getting vaccinated. The animals are now getting vaccinated at the Philadelphia Zoo. Which ones are at risk? How do you know? KYW's J. Scott Smith talks to colleague John McDevitt, explaining which animals were the first to get the shots.
Well, they started with their five-ring-tailed lemurs, and then they went on to their four western lowland gorillas. Now, they have five gorillas, western lowland gorillas, but one of them didn't really cooperate. They're trained. These animals were selected because they were. These are among the animals that are trained to be given vaccines and medications. They kind of go up to a fence, and the keeper is able to then vaccinate them or give them medications or things like that. But this one gorilla, it was too late in the day, officials say. So she wasn't cooperating, so they gave her dose to one of the Sumatran orangutans.
And that's interesting that you bring that up, because I do wonder about this. I mean, first off, how do you get an animal? Some of these animals are not exactly small or not exactly known to just comply, per se, to get vaccinated. How you make that happen? Plus, how is the zoo prioritizing which of these animals are getting vaccinated? How does that work?
Yeah, so, well, they requested 113 doses from the company Zoetis for this experimental drug. They are given 10 doses at a time. I spoke with Dr. Keith Hinshaw. He's the director of animal health at the Philadelphia Zoo, and met with him, and he kind of explained that the more at-risk animals, which are the gorillas, the big cats, they are given it first, and it's if they are able to administer the vaccines without, you know, for example, like not putting them under or anything of that nature, these animals are trained to kind of pose themselves to get vaccinated. So they are going with the at-risk animals first. There's 113 that they ultimately want to vaccinate, but big cats, the gorillas, the lemurs, they're the first. They're the ones that are being vaccinated right now, and then they're going to go as they can to get all of these 113 animals vaccinated. It's two doses, just like those who are getting human shots, the Moderna and the Pfizer shots, and they're 1 milliliter each. They're going to be giving those needles to the animals, and again, the at-risk animals that they're more susceptible of perhaps getting COVID-19 first.
And you mentioned something there about the dosage amounts. So how do they determine this? Because I guess how much does it take to vaccinate a gorilla as opposed to, say, a lemur or or a tiger? Or how does that all work?
So you might think that, you know, the dosage would be different, but it's not about the weight. It's not about the dosing weight. It's about inducing an immune system response. So this 1 milliliter of this vaccine, officials say, gets the immune system going. So they aren't giving more or less depending on the weight of an animal, as you say, a lemur versus like a gorilla. So that's kind of their answer. Also, this is experimental. And Dr. Hinshaw and other zoo veterinarians, there are 70 zoos across the country that were requesting these vaccinations. And the it takes a while. The process is long because it goes through the U.S. government, Department of Agriculture, and then the state's Department of Agriculture. So they're going to be looking, a bunch of veterinarians are going to be looking at taking blood samples and kind of looking to see if this is actually working, basically. Are less animals at zoos getting COVID? And just recently at Zoo Atlanta, there were a bunch of gorillas that came down with COVID-19. And the ironic thing was that this experimental drug was days away from arriving or being administered to those gorillas and other at-risk animals there. But unfortunately, they did come down with it. So this is why they're doing it. Animals at zoos are getting it, and it's due to humans. Humans are spreading it.
No figure. And the whole irony of this is originally that the disease was thought to have somehow moved from animals to humans. And John, we last talked about this about 3 months ago, back in July.
And back then, the zoo said it would be about 2 months before the shots arrive. So right about on schedule, they're here. So what's been happening behind the scenes in the in-between time?
Yeah, so they were waiting for this. And then behind the scenes, they were just taking precautions. Zookeepers are wearing face shields. They're wearing gloves. They're distancing as much as they can. They are keeping the animals, basically away from humans who are not normally there. And you would think like, oh, yeah, well, who's around a lion or a tiger or a gorilla. But so they're limiting like the actual keepers, because the cases, like I just mentioned, Zoo Atlanta, that was traced to a asymptomatic care giver of the gorillas. So they're limiting that. So they are taking the precautions. And also the zoo wants to remind people, don't feed the animals, because they are getting it from humans. If a person is holding something, food, and tossing it into the cage, there's a possibility if you have COVID or don't know you have COVID, you're going to give it to the animal. So they're reinforcing that. So, and they also are just also pushing for humans to get their vaccines, as this goes on and as these variants come in. And the Delta variant, they still don't, well, we really don't know a whole lot about this, the Delta variant and what it will do yet when we're seeing it, obviously, but it may have a stronger impact on animals than humans, but they just don't know yet. And that's why they're going to be keeping a close eye and monitoring this drug, this vaccine, I should say, as time goes on and as it's administered to the 70 zoos throughout the country.
It's interesting when you bring that up about the not feeding the animals. And when I was in college, I worked at the Detroit Zoo for a couple of summers, and that was some of the things we would just be adamant about, because you don't know what kind of food you're tossing in there. You don't know if they can eat it. Now you got to think about the potential of a disease floating in there. And you brought up something there. The importance of humans getting vaccinated dominates so much of this conversation. And you just kind of mentioned it there. How much of a threat is COVID to these animals, as well as to the keepers and the trainers who are dealing with them all the time?
Yeah, well, they have strict, the keepers and those at the zoo, the people that work there, have strict guidelines now. You know, the temperature check, the questionnaire, the vaccinations, the mask wearing, just the normal protocol that a lot of companies have when dealing with animals and their employees and just interacting with others during this pandemic. But so they are keeping close eye on the animals, and the contact when it comes to humans. But yeah, so there is some those guidelines are underway and will continue.
Now, is there any concern that perhaps if, say, a gorilla gets COVID or lion gets COVID, that it can be passed over to one of the keepers?
No, that isn't a concern. That hasn't come to play at all. No one is seeing animals giving it to humans, with all these different variants, who knows, that could change, but hopefully that will never change. But right now, that is something that Dr. Hinshaw was saying that isn't an issue. It is humans giving it to the animals that is the concern.
The Delta wave across the world, it might have peaked already. World Health Organization says the number of new cases fell last week again, 3.6 million new ones. That was down from 4 million the previous week. The drop, the first substantial decline in more than 2 months, falling cases in every region of the world. There were just under 60,000 deaths in the past week. That is a 7% decline. This is an Odyssey original. You can find us on the Odyssey app, other shows too, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.